is gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
do. Stand on your feet, huh? God just wants his word to come first today. I know we've got a lot to do, but nothing is more important to the Lord today than his word. And in this worship service today, he's chosen to put his word first. Gracious God, thank you now for this time of hearing your word. We pray that you would move and minister as only you can. You know what you desire to do and what you desire to do for your people. We thank you, Father, for a fresh anointing of your spirit. Thank you for his guidance. Thank you, God, for all that you desire to do in your people this day, for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 12, a very familiar passage of scripture, but I want us to focus our thoughts on the 12th and 21st. Of the 12th chapter and the 21st verse. St. John chapter 12, verse 21 says, "The same therefore came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." May the Lord bless his word. For just a little while, seeking Jesus still. Seeking Jesus still. I want you to see this word, because this is talking about the Son of Man being glorified, and this is the hour and the purpose for which he has come, and he's making that clear to the believers and to those who desire to seek him as the Savior of the world, and more importantly and personally, of the Savior of their souls. It's clear, brothers and sisters, that there were people seeking the Lord Jesus Christ at this time for many various reasons. One of the first reasons, according to verse 9, is that they were seeking him for the sake of curiosity. They were seeking him for curiosity. They had heard about the miraculous healing, resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. They had heard of his delivering ability. They had heard of many of the miraculous acts that he performed in many of the surrounding towns and within the lives of believers. And many folk who wanted something from him, and many folk who wanted to just know who he was, and many folk who were curious about how far-reaching was his span of contact and ability, etc., etc., etc. Many of them were seeking him just because they were curious. And don't fool yourself, there are many people today who are still seeking Jesus. Not as Savior, not as Lord, not as healer, not as deliverer, not as the many different things that he may do and is, but simply because of curiosity, because of somebody else's testimony. They want to see if this Jesus is who he say he is, or who they say he is. So they seek him many times still today, as they did in that day, for the sake of curiosity. But then you're also going to notice that they're going to seek him as in this day, as in days gone before, for worldly advantages. Because many sought him simply because he fed them according to the word, because of, in the sixth chapter, because of the fish and the loaves, because of the miracle of the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. And it was because of worldly advantages that they got from Jesus that they were still seeking him. And others who were not part of that feeding were seeking him and still is seeking him for worldly advantages today. Some call on Jesus not because they love him, but because they need a favor from him. Some of them are seeking him now because they want him to do something supernatural for them. They're still looking for a miracle. They're still looking for a breakthrough. They're still looking for a worldly advantage so that Jesus can open up certain doors, so that he can give certain promotions, so that he can do things that will benefit and advantage them in the world's system. But not necessarily are they looking for Jesus. For Jesus. Then you'll notice there are some other reasons, like the woman who was in this chapter in Simon's house, how she was looking for Jesus because he turned her life around. So because her soul was in distress and she needed someone to pull her from her perverted ways and change her lifestyle, and not just a moment of an encounter with him, but for an entire life-changing experience, she sought him. And many today who are hung up on addictions. Yeah. Who are hung up on perversions, who are hung up in depression, who are hung up in oppression, who are hung up for this reason or the other reason, are seeking Jesus today for what he is able to do for a changing of a life situation. But let me say to you, my brothers and sisters, no matter what you're seeking Jesus for, the record is if you seek him, you'll find him. Because he'll show up for you, even if you're not asking to see him for the right reason. You remember Didymus, as he's called, Thomas, doubting Thomas, if you will, when the others had seen Jesus and he wasn't there. And after he heard their testimonies about how Jesus had come and showed up and showed out, and he said, listen, I hear all of that, but I will not believe until I can put my hands in the nail prints and thrust my finger in his side. Then and only then will I believe. And then Jesus showed up again and said, come here, Thomas. Put your hand right here in the nail prints. Thrust your fingers right in my side. And then he said, my Lord and my God. He believed. He said, blessed, I'm glad you believe. He said, but you believe because you've seen. But blessed are they who believe and have not seen. How many of you believe and have not physically seen him yet? See, these are the folk who are truly blessed because they see him not by sight, but they see him by faith. Jesus is desirous of us seeking him still. Listen at this word, because I want you to see this, my brothers and sisters, when you go back to the text. And look at this, the Bible says in verse 20, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Worship is a good setting for us to start seeking Jesus. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Verse 21 says, the same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Now let me help you understand this in the context even of our present day worship. There are people who come to our worship experience seeking Jesus. Not the form, not the fashion, not the traditional, not the same as usual, not business as usual, not the same old rhetoric, not the same old way, but they've come to see Jesus. They've not come to hear us lift up a denomination and talk about I'm Baptist and that's why I believe. They didn't come to hear us confess that we are this and we are that because of what we have done. They didn't come for any of that. They simply came to see Jesus. And And we'll listen to this. What better way to find Jesus than to ask somebody in the church who supposedly know Jesus, have a relationship with Jesus, and who may be in position? And so when we find ourselves in position, that's a clear case that we ought to have a relationship with the person in the name of Jesus. And so if somebody who's lost come to somebody who's especially in leadership position and say, "Sir, I would see Jesus. Ma'am, I would see Jesus. Brother, I would see Jesus. Sister, I would see Jesus." Somebody, especially in leadership position, ought to be able to show him to him. Now, as a born-again believer, you ought to be able to lead him to Christ. But especially, isn't that this? Philip was one of the followers of Jesus. And so leadership was a part of his role. And so especially those of us who are in leadership ought to have a close connection and communication with Jesus Christ so that we are able at any time to show men Jesus. Listen to this. So he went to Philip. But the Bible says this. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Now listen, Philip and Andrew together tell Jesus, because Philip goes and he tells Andrew, and Andrew says, "Okay, well, let's go and tell Jesus about it." Now, what he may have been doing was following protocol. Took it to the next level. Said, "Listen, these people want to see Jesus, you know, and what do you think? Is this now a good time for Jesus to be introduced to them?" And said, I don't know what the conversation ensued was, but it was clear that he was going through a structure. And see, when you do things decently and in order, there's less chance for confusion. And let me throw this out parenthetically, that if you don't really know how to introduce Jesus, take the person who wants to meet Jesus to somebody who knows how to do it well. Does that not make sense? I may know him, but if you know him better and they have this soul desire to know him, I think they need to get the best introduction they can get with Jesus Christ. So he takes him, but Andrew doesn't do it by himself. He said, "Come on, Philip, I'm going to take you with me." And they go to Jesus, and listen at this word. The Bible says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Listen at this. Jesus is setting them up to understand. The reason why they're seeking me is because I'm getting ready to do what I came here to do. I've been doing ministry work up to this point, but now I'm getting ready to do my mission work. The reason for which I came down here to planet Earth. And they're seeking me to see me, but the inward desire is truly to see me as the Savior of the world. Listen to what the Bible says. Verse 25, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." In other words, these men were seeking Jesus because they wanted a better way of life. They wanted to give up their old way of life to get the new way of life. And the only way they could get that was through Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me." Literally, what he's saying is, you can't follow me unless you serve me. And if you serve me, you've got to follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. This is one of the reasons why they went to the servants, because they knew the servants couldn't be far from the Savior. Somebody ought to hear me here. And so when you are supposed to be a servant of the Lord, the Savior shouldn't be too far away from you, so that you are able to introduce others to him because you are following the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again what he says. "If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." See, honor comes in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we recognize that he is the true Savior of the world, that he is the Savior of the Word, that he is the one that we ought to look to follow after, he is the one that should be lifted up. When we honor him, his Father honors us. Bible says now, verse 27, "Is my soul troubled? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Yeah. Listen, a lot of folk were rejoicing and they were excited and ecstatic about the healing ministry of Jesus, the delivering ministry of Jesus, the blessing ministry of Jesus, etc., 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 etc. But all of those things were just pointing to the signs of who he really was. Amen. And the time had come now for him to take center stage. Yeah. And everything that he had done before this point pointed to this point. And so now, as the curtain call was coming in his time to take center stage position, he was saying, what should I say? Father, I don't want to do this now. This is my hour. This is my time. This is what all the preparation has been for. And so, my brothers and sisters, it's even as in the times of our trials and in the times of our struggles, God prepares us with his word. God seasons us with his substance. And then when trouble rise and storms brew and situations come, what do we do then? Do we run from them? Do we hide? Do we cry? Do we fold up and faint? No. It's for this hour the Lord has prepared us for. So when the devil shows up, we are ready for battle. When things come our way and try and knock us down and knock us back and hinder us and destroy us and deter us, it is for this hour we are prepared to stand up in the authority of the word of God and say, for God I live and for God I'll die. I am what I am by the grace of God. And you stand in the authority of his word and you do what he has purposed you to do. And you submit yourself to God and you resist the devil. And the Bible says he shall flee from you. It's about high time some of you put the devil on the run. You ought to be sick and tired of having to run from the devil or stand there fighting the devil, getting beat down by the devil because you don't know your position and your power. The Bible says submit yourself to God. That's his word. And resist the devil. Tell the devil, I've had enough of your mess. I know who I am. I know whose I am. And I've been prepared for this hour. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I'm more than a conqueror. Submit unto this word, to God. Resist the devil, and you resist him with the word of God. And after he get through hearing you and get tired of you putting the word on him, the word is your sword. And by faith, when you start wielding that sword and you start showing him that you got it and you ready to cut him to pieces, the devil gonna look for somebody else that ain't got no sword. And he can knock around, but he won't mess with you. Listen, Jesus says, again, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Now is my soul troubled. It don't mean just because you're saved, you won't experience no trouble. Don't be fooled by the devil. Don't be hoodwinked by the devil. As a matter of fact, the surer you are, the more stable, stout, and strong you are, the greater your testings will be by Satan. But you're more than a conqueror. And in any situation, God has promised you the victory and the success. Look again at verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it, listen at this, and will glorify it again. He says, Father, glorify thy name. He said, just because you are who you are, doing what I've called you to do and you're ready to battle, he says, I've already did it. I've done it already. It's already done. I did it already. He said, but I got news for you. I ain't through doing it again. I'm going to do it again. And that's what I love about the Lord. And I say this all the time. What he's done once, how many of you know he can do it again? If he picked you up once, he can pick you up again. If he delivered you once, he can deliver you again. If he raised you once, he can raise you again. If he's elevated, promoted you once, he can do it again. If he empowered you once, he can empower you again. Whatever God has done for you before, he can do it again through his own glorified name. Some of us are hanging our heads low because we don't understand that God is still in control. Just because you've been knocked down don't mean you won't get up again. Just because you've been set back don't mean you won't be brought back again. Just because the sun may not be shining now don't mean it won't shine again. God has glorified his name, and he will do it again through the works of Christ and through the works of the Holy Ghost in your life. Listen again to this word. I want you to see this. The Bible says again, and Jesus is talking here again. He says, verse 29, the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. And God spoke out audibly. But listen at this, and I want you to get this right quickly. People can hear God and can't many times understand God, because you have to be connected to heaven to understand heaven's language. See in the service, when the Holy Ghost starts moving, those who are connected to the Holy Ghost gets a rhema word. They get an internal and an inspiring word, one that is understandable, some motion, some move of the Holy Ghost. It ministers them on another level. And others who are just in the church but not having the church in them or the Holy Ghost operative in them wonder what it is they're hearing. It might sound like a thunderous noise to them, but it's a clear communication from the Holy Ghost to those of us who are connected. And so everybody was there and they all heard it, but not everybody heard the same thing. Listen at the text again. I want you to hear what the Word of God says. Listen again. The Bible is clear. Jesus is making clear so that they would hear. Verse 29. The people therefore that stood by and heard it, listen, said that it thundered. That's the report of some of them. Others said an angel spake to him. But listen to what the Bible says. Verse 28. Father, glorify thy name. This is Jesus speaking. Then look at what God says. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now Jesus heard that. And the people who were furthest from him in a spiritual context heard thunder. And the ones who were a little more spiritually astute thought it was the voice of an angel. And look at what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And look at what he says. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And so Jesus is making clear that the death he must die must be lifted up on a cross, just as the serpent was lifted up in that time of Moses. And so in that time when Jesus would be lifted up on the cross, so that all men might see him, so that all men might be touched by his act of Calvary, Jesus said, and I. It's not going to happen unless I be lifted up. In other words, he must be crucified and die. His precious blood must be shed. He must, in the end, close his eyes, give up the ghost to the Father, and die so as to pay for your penalty and sin, and stay in that grave until the designated time comes. Why? Because as a man, he was very sorrowful. He hurt, he pained. He didn't want to die, but he did it as a right for the believer. He did it as a responsibility to God. He did it as a reward for the faithful. And so he did it because you and I could not do it. And you know the story as I come to a close. Early Sunday morning, the same one that was lifted up got up. And I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that there's something I want you to see. Sometimes God will allow you to go through some stuff. And when you go through some stuff, like Jesus, you're going to be put down for a while. But I got news for you. It's for a limited time only. You may have to go through your situation like Jesus did those 3 days and three nights. But I got news for you. There is a time of resurrection set. There is a time of restoration set. There is a time of renewing set. There is a time of raising set. You got to know that God has got this thing fixed. And I don't care what man says, and I don't care what man does. When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that he died so that you would have the victory in every area of life, you can say, thank God for the victory. Thank God I've been redeemed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's why I rejoice in this celebration. That's why I thank God for what Jesus did. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Tell somebody you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Somebody need to say, lead me, guide me. Show me what you want me to do. I'm seeking you still for my breakthrough. I'm seeking you still for my healing. I'm seeking you still for my deliverance. I'm seeking you still for my promotion. I'm seeking you still for my breakthroughs. I'm seeking you still for more power. 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 Give him praise in his house today. Glory to the Lamb of God. The doors of the church are open. Seeking Jesus still. Is that one today? Whoever you are, my brother, my sister, he is the answer. He is the hope. He is the light of the world. And those who really want his best will be seeking him still. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Is there another today who will say, Lord, I'm still seeking you for a closer walk, for more intimate fellowship? I'm still seeking you because I want to be everything you want me to be. Seeking you not as in the introduction, but seeking you in a more intimate way, which takes me to a new level and place in you. Seeking you still. See, just meeting him is one thing. Just getting saved is the beginning of it. But as you still seek him, he will still reveal more things about himself, about his word, about his will, about his way. The question is, will you come today? Will you come today? Will you say to him, Lord, I want your best for my life. I want to know you better. I want to yield more to you. He's calling you today. This is your time. You see, your true hope lies in him. He is the answer. He is the truth. He is the way. Jesus is the life. Is there another who will come today? He says, brand new life. Abundantly. He's calling you. This is your time. This is your time.